Okay, so I'm wanting you to, this is one of the things that it's nice to be able to chant all the way through and memorize it for people who are into memorizing. So we're going to chant in the first verse. Repeat after me, and we'll see how we do. For those of you who have a relatively new copy and you haven't made this correction, it's that Mohabdaye, right? Katakshakitanachanta Naman Mohab. Mohabdaye, and the first line. Mohabdaye. So before the DH, you should have a B. Mohabdaye, on the first line. I've corrected that on, but you'd have to print out the whole thing again. Right? So. Om. Om. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdaye Namaha. Naman Mohabdaye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtaye. Jagan Mangala Murtaye. Ahamasmi Sadabhami. Ahamasmi Sadabhami. Kadachinahamapriyaha. Kadachinahamapriyaha. Pramayvahamatasiddham. Pramayvahamatasiddham. Satchidananda Lakshanam. Satchidananda Lakshanam. Mayevo Deti Chidyomni.
Mayevo Deti Chidyomni.
Jagad Gantarva Patanam.
Jagad Gantarva Patanam.
Atohan Nakatam Brahma.
Atohan Nakatam Brahma.
Sarvagnyam Sarvakaranam.
Sarvagyam Sarvakaranam.
Nasvatath Pratyabhijnanat.
Nasvatath Pratyabhijnanat.
Niramshatvan Nachanyataha.
Niramshatvan Nachanyataha.
Nachashriya Vinashanme.
Nachashriya Vinashanme.
Vinashasyadanashriyat.
Vinashasyadanashriyat.
Nashosha Posha Vikleda.
Nashosha Posha Vikleda.
Chedas Chinna Basomama.
Chedas Chinna Basomama.
Satyarapya Anilagnyam Baha.
Satyarapya.
I have trouble with that too. We'll go over and over. Shaskai Kimuta Kalpitaihi. Let me break the Sunday, then we'll practice chanting this after we know. Have some, do the Sunday. Na Shosha Klosha Vikleda Chedaha Chit Nabaso. So Chin, right? Chin Nabasaha Mama. Satyaihi api anila anila agni ambaha. Anila agni agni, you know, fire's hidden in there. Anila agni ambaha shastraihi. There's shastra and shastra. Shastra is a weapon, shastra is the scripture, so shastra. Shastraihi kim huta kalpitaihi. Okay? So again, na shosha plosha vikleda. See that little cha in there? Remember, we had this. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this yesterday in our class. That cha that showed up there as a sandhi, for our advanced Sanskrit class. That cha I looked up just to find out the rule. If an aspirate cha follows a short vowel, follows a vowel. Any vowel, this ch, the unaspirate ch, will be inserted. That is optional if the ch is following a vowel that ends the preceding word and that vowel is long, then it optionally can come in. But if the vowel is short or it doesn't end the word, then you'll find that ch.
So
always.
The word actually is just cheda without the ch.
That's right. That ch there, that Shudder is mandatory. Also, if the word happens to be not a word but an upasarga preposition ah, then that sha has to come. And if it's the word ma, which means not, before the imperative, that sha has to come. So I just want, for those who are really studying the sundis and things, that to notice that extra additional unaspirated sha is often a sundi. Okay. We haven't really talked
and
about
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it's optional and sometimes it's not, depending upon if it's...
It's not optional. It's optional only if it's following a word that ends in a long vowel. Then it's optional. But if the word happens to be ma, which means not, then it has to come. Right?
So it's optional with the exception of ma.
With the exception of ma and with the exception of the upasarga, ah.
And in this case, because it ends in a short a, then sho has to be there.
That's right. So we have shosha. Let me go through the word meaning here. The word shosha means to dry up, for something to become dried up. Like, for instance, the example is going to be the wind. You know, if the wind comes, say if there's puddles in the ground, or if you've hung out your laundry, the wind itself will cause that to dry. Okay? So shosha means to dry up, for something to be dried. Plosha means to scorch or to burn, the scorching or burning. So shosha, these are nouns. Shosha is drying up. Plosha is scorching or burning. Vikleda means, like, if you put water on into a potted plant, the soil becomes saturated with water. So vikleda means water that's saturating, water that's saturating a lot of water. So we have these, shosha, plosha, vikleda, and cheda. Cheda means to cut. So we have drying up, we have na, not, and then we have a compound, this is a compound, drying up, scorching or burning, saturating with water, cheda, cutting. So chedaha. Chedaha puts this in the nominative plural, right?
I'm sorry. I'm lost in the context. Why?
Well, I'm just doing word for word, so there's no context yet.
Okay.
I just want you to understand the words.
Okay.
So we have not, and then shosha, plosha, vikleda, chedaha. For the Sanskrit people, that's nominative plural. So we have not, and then we have drying up, scorching, saturating with water, and cutting. Okay? These four things. Then we have chin nebasaha mama. Both are in the genitive singular, mama, of me. Chin nebasaha. Chin means consciousness. Nebas means like the sky or the space. The way that it's being used here is like, for me, the space of consciousness. We'll see why they're saying that. The space of consciousness means the consciousness which is like space. That's it. That's the meaning there. The consciousness, the chit, which is nebus, like space. So for me, who am consciousness, who am like consciousness like space? Or you could just say in English the space of consciousness, because we make that metaphor automatically in our mind. The space of consciousness, okay? In the genitives. Now we have satyaihi. This is going to be adjectival, and it means in the instrumental plural, with those things which are satyam, which are real. Like within relative reality, the rope in relative reality, what we call vyavahara, within this creation, we would say the rope is real, the snake is not real. So here satya means things which are actually there, which are real. Space is real. Air is real, fire is real, water is real, the earth is real. But then there's imaginary things also. Those aren't real. So that's how satya is being used here. You'll see in the context. Satyahi api. Even though real, or satyahi api. Even though by those things which are real. So let's see what they mean here. We have another compound. Anila. Anila means air. Anila. Agni means fire. Ambaha means water. You know, I have a little space there, but I see, but that space shouldn't be there between the Visarga and the Sha. This is one compound. Anila, so let me make a note there. It should go like this. And I think they put a space in the book, too. So anyway, I'll have to check on that and see. Anyway, it should go like this. Anila, air. Agni, fire. Ambaha, water. And Shastrahi. So this whole compound is in the instrumental plural to go along with Sajjahi. Shastra means weapons. And the weapons like swords. You know, weapons are considered that they're made of earth. So that's why it just goes to the Shastra. Shastrahi, by weapon. So literally it says, by, if we take it backwards, reading backwards, by water, fire, no, sorry, by air, Anila, Agni, fire, Amba, water, and weapons, even though being real, Satyahi, Api. So by these things, by air, fire, water, weapons, api shastras, even though they are real. Okay? Kim uta. What to say? Kim uta. When you have kim with an instrumental, it means what to speak of. What to speak of, kalpitaihi, when they are imaginary, projected, nitya, maya, born of maya. So those are the words. Let me put it together for you, and we'll talk about it. There's a metaphor here by the space of consciousness. So we have space, which is likened to consciousness. Okay? So this is going to be talking about space and consciousness. So it says, let me do it with just the space first. Okay? For space, there is no na. Okay? Nebasaha. For space, there is no drying, shosha, no burning, plosha, no saturating, vikleda, no cheda, no cutting, by wind, by anila, by wind, by fire, by water, or by weapons, even though they are real. Okay, so this is the idea. Shosha, drying, goes with anila, wind. Space, this is the idea. Space, you take the five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth. Space and the other five elements are of the same order of reality. The air, fire, water, earth are the same order of reality as space. You really see that? Mm. Same. So they're satya. So they're real. But for space, even though these weapons are real, the anila, the wind, can't dry it. There's no drying up of space by the air. There is no burning of space by the fire. There is no wetting of space by the water, by the amba. And there is no cutting of space by the weapons. Okay? Even though they're real. So here is space and here is a weapon. You know, it's not an imaginary weapon. Of course, an imaginary weapon can't cut the space, but a real weapon can't cut the space either. Real water can't wet the space. Real fire can't burn the space, right? Real wind can't dry out the space. So all five of these elements, or all four of these elements, even though they're as real as space, they can't do anything to the space. Okay? You really clear on that? So then he says, Kim uta kalpitai. What do you speak of ones that are kalpita? Kalpita, when we use the word kalpita, means those. Kalpita means projected by maya. When we use this kalpita, it's a technical term. It can also be made, produced, created, kalpita. But when we use the term kalpita, it's maya kalpita, that which is projected by maya. So now we have to go back to understanding in Sanskrit how they use the metaphor. Chin nebasaha. For space is the nebus, for consciousness, right? So we have the space of consciousness. So even for space, even though space itself can't be touched by any of these elements. You can't cut it, you can't wet it, you can't dry it, and you can't do anything to it, even though they're the same order of reality. What about what to speak of consciousness for which all of these things are projected? Means are products of Maya. What can they do? What to speak of if even on the real and within Vyavahara, the elements can't touch space, which is the most subtle. What to speak of all of these things that are kalpita, are Maya kalpita? What can they do to the Atma? Does anybody see how it works?
Mm-hmm.
Any doubt? So you read it, you're reading it twice. The kalpita goes with the chit part of the chin nebasaha, and the satyahi, by those things which are real, go to the nebas, to the space part of it. Okay?
So on one level, it's saying that these things are real, on the same level that space is real.
Yes.
But then when we come to consciousness, these same things which we say are real, in a relative sense, become
Maya kalpita.
Yeah.
Exactly. But there's some other things that are important to understand in this verse. I want everybody to be clear on the verse, right? This kind of will help to understand why the way they break down the creation, space, air, fire, water, earth, is an important teaching prakriya. So, teaching methodology. So now we have to hold, I was going to make a chart for you, but I don't have time. So, we have to hold the chart in our mind, okay? The space, air, fire, water, earth are given in a particular order, and it's the order of subtlety, where space is the most subtle. Then air, then fire, then water, then earth. It's subtle in terms of our ability, more subtle in terms of really, initially, our ability to perceive it. Okay, so we'll say that space is available for your perception only through sound. In other words, you can't touch space, you can't see space, right? You can't touch it, you can't see it. But sound is a guna. It's considered to be the guna, the attribute of space. And sound you can hear, okay? So it's the most subtle because it's only available to you through hearing of its attribute, which is sound. Whereas if you go one down to air is available to you. You can hear the wind blow, but you can also feel air. You can't feel space. So air becomes less subtle, right? And now that you're in air, you can actually, from air on, you can impact air. I'll show you, but let's go through this way, in this way first. Air has both sound and touch. You can feel it blowing against your skin, for instance. But air and space, you can't see. Fire, you can hear it crackling, you can feel its heat, and you can see it. Right, with through your eyes. And so it becomes less subtle in terms of availability to your perception. But it will take the other two. It'll take the attributes. It has the attributes of space and air, but it has its own attribute of form because you can see it, right? Go down one more to water. Water you can taste. Fire you can't taste. Air you can't taste. You can feel it blowing against, but you're not tasting it. If you're tasting it, you'll be tasting that liquid earth. Yeah. So they add one more quality to water. You can taste water. Okay? You can taste water, you can see water, you can feel water, you can hear water, the ripping of the water. Go down one more to the final one, earth, and now you have all five senses. It's available to all five sense organs. Okay, because you can smell it. You can smell it, you can taste it, you can see it, you can feel it, you can hear it. Clear for everybody? Mm-hmm. So this order of subtlety is important in the sense as you get to the most subtle one, you know, there's an order of pervasiveness also, right? Like water is more pervasive. It will saturate whatever it's around, like that. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is pervasiveness in terms of, or, you know, subtlety in terms of sense perception. Okay, now, next point. if you look at all of them, each of them really can impact the other. You know, they can, like water can wet the earth, fire can heat the air, it can heat the water, it can burn the earth, you know. Water, the air can blow out the fire, right? It can dry the water. So within these four elements, they can interact with each other and affect each other. That's why they say, you know, drying, the air can dry the elements, but it can't dry space, right? Fire can burn the elements, but it can't do that to space. Water can wet the elements, but it can't do that to space, etc. A weapon can cut or slice through. It can't do anything to air, but it can't do anything to space. So space is the one that is the most free. So what that means is that in terms of this creation, we can use the relationship of space to all the elements and elementals in the creation as a metaphor or as an illustration, a drishtanta for the Atma, because it has this one thing in common, you know, that it can't be touched, or everything takes place within it, but nothing itself, nothing can touch it. Nothing's away from it, nothing can touch it. So in this way, the space becomes something that has a similarity to the Atma. Okay, so that being so, once you realize, oh, that's true, you know, space pervades everything, and none of the elements can touch it in any way, and everything moves through it, but without causing any type of change or modification to it. That's space. Now from there we go to you yourself, the Atma, is the witness of space. This is one prakriya. The Atma, the self, consciousness, is the witness of space.
Witness of space?
Mm-hmm. Witness means if I, from the standpoint of space, I'm aware of space. I'm aware of space, fire, I'm aware of space, wind, space, air, fire, water, earth, oh, whatever they are. Fire, water, earth. Means there's a subject-object relationship with them. Okay? Mm-hmm. Space is considered an element. Mm-hmm. Space, air, fire, water, earth. Mm-hmm. If you don't think so, any imagination you have, like if you imagine, like for instance, my meadow, you imagine the meadow, the space, air, water, fire, water, earth, comes with the imagination. It's not that there's some space in which the imagination takes place. The imagination takes place in consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so space is considered to be is one of the five elements, right? That is illumined and has for its truth being itself, consciousness itself. And so if on a real level within Vyavahara, where these things enjoy equal reality, notice that all of the elements can't touch space, and space itself, right, has you for its adhara. Adhara means adhisthana, for its basis. And the whole creation, if the whole creation is mithya, means there's not even an equal relationship here. It's one thing, there's not an equal relationship. One is mithya, one is satyam. Satyam acting upon satyam. Objects within Vyavahara acting upon objects within Vyavahara. Even on that level, you know, nothing touches space. Space itself exists within you. You are aware of space. You are the subject of space. Nothing itself. Nothing can touch space. You are more subtle than space. The space, air, fire, water, earth comes from you, is sustained by you, resolves from into you. Nothing can touch it. That's understanding, that's from the standpoint of accepting the cyclical nature of the creation, accepting the Maya nature of the creation, which you would have had to have established. But there's another prakriya there which makes you recognize that you, in fact, are the witness of space and pervasive of space. Right? Just like you are the witness of all of these objects, you're the witness of space itself. And so you yourself pervade the space, are more subtle than the space.
And the space is still an object. And yeah. You receive it as an object.
Yeah. So you objectify the space along with everything in it. If the things within the space can't touch the space, how can they touch you that are more subtle than the space? You're not even an object in the space. And so it's trying to take you to a level of subtlety or being more innermost and more pervasive. than the others, having a subject-object relationship. And then you get into the relationship of consciousness, which itself is satyam, right? Means it's not something that can be objectified, right? And it's not subject to change, versus those things which are mitya, satyam, mitya. Those things that are mitya means anything that exists within the creation is subject to time and change, comes from non-existence, goes into non-existence, has no reality of its own. It's kalpita. Everything in the creation is kalpita. It's a projection by maya. Means it, you cannot establish the being or the reality of anything in this creation. If you can't even, if it's all maya, if you can't establish the reality of any object in the creation, so it's kalpita, it's mitya, how can that touch me, right? Even when within the creation, when you're going in levels of subtlety, none of these things can touch space, which is most subtle and all-pervasive. How can anything touch me? And all of these things are projected, let alone being the most subtle and not objectifiable, all of these type of things come in. Am I doing okay with that? Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Okay.
Kalpita. Is that related to the word kalpa? Which is...
It probably is. Probably is.
That's subject to age. Yeah.
But kalpita really... comes from clerp. Clerp. That means, you know, to create, to make, to do. But we use maya, kalpita, that which projects the creation, that which makes the creation. So, okay. You know. So it's a word that we use very often. And we use it in reference to maya. Right? So... let's chant this. Nashosha plosha vikleda. Nashosha plosha vikleda. Chedas chinnapasomama.
Chedas chinnapasomama.
Satyairapyani lagnyam vaha.
Satyairapyani lagnyam
vaha. Satyairapya.
Satyairapya. Satyairapya.
Nilagnyam vaha.
Nilagnyam
vaha.
Nilagnyam
vaha. So it's actually anila, but I'm just doing this for now. Nilagnyam vaha.
Nilagnyam vaha.
Nilagnyam vaha.
Nilagnyam vaha.
Nilagnya, right? Nilagnyam vaha.
Nilagnyam
baha.
Nilagnyam baha.
Nilagnyam baha.
Nilagnyam baha.
Satyai rapya.
Satyai rapya.
Nilagnyam baha.
Nilagnyam baha.
Satyai rapya nilagnyam baha.
Satyai rapya
nilagnyam baha. Satyai rapya nilagnyam baha.
Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha.
Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha.
Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha.
Say it with me. Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha.
Satyairapya
nilagnyam vaha. Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha. Now, shastraik.
Shastraik.
Shastraik kimuta kalpitaihi.
Shastraik kimuta kalpitaihi.
Shastraik kimuta.
Shastrai
kimuta.
Shastrai kimuta.
Kalpitaihi.
Kalpitaihi.
Shastrai kimuta kalpitaihi.
Shastrai kimuta kalpitaihi.
Nashosha plosha vikleda.
Nashosha plosha vikleda.
Chedas chinna baso mama.
Chedas chinna baso mama.
Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha.
Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha.
Shastraik kimuta kalpitaihi.
Shastraik kimuta kalpitaihi.
Nashosha plosha vikleda chedas chinna baso mama.
Nashosha plosha vikleda chedas chinna baso mama.
Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha. Shastraik kimuta kalpitaihi.
Satyairapya nilagnyam vaha.
Shastraik kimuta kalpitaihi. Okay.
Can you put that into, just, I'm not sure if you did this, put it into an English sentence? Like,
yeah, I can. Go like this. It's a little bit awkward, but then we can make it better.
Because it's the two lists in theory.
You could say, there is no, for, like, say like this, for space, there is no drying, burning, wetting or cutting by wind, fire, water, or weapons, even though real. What to speak of by ones which are projected by Maya for the self? What to speak of for myself by those which are projected by Maya? Yes. Yeah. You got it? Can I see it? Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah. Really, this verse goes back to the previous verse. I forgot to say this. It goes back to the previous verse, verse 4, where it says, you know, if the first part of number 4 says, Nesvatev pratyabhijnanat, right? That vinasha, there's no destruction for me. There's na me vinasha. There's no destruction for me from. By my own means, by myself, because of pratibhijna, you know, because of this because of recollection. Then at the second one it says, and there's no destruction of myself from another, chanyataha, from another. Why? Because I have no parts, nirvamshatvat. And so this verse is going further into the niramshatvat, that another can't destroy me. Because all these things, that they can't destroy self, the space, even though they both belong to the same order of reality, how can they touch me, for whom all of these things are kalpita, projected by Maya? So this goes to the anyataha of the preceding verse. See that? Okay. Let's say our prayer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.